This evening and go to Matthew 26 to begin, and we're just going to be here for a short time, and then we're going to go to the book of Hebrews. And what I want to do this evening is just help us to focus on the Lord Jesus and to, in our hearts and minds, be able to remember who He is and what He has done for us, so that we might honor Him and give Him glory this evening as we come together at this special service to observe the Lord's Supper. Matthew 26 is Matthew's account of the institution of the Lord's Supper, and we're going to read verses 26 through 30. Everybody have it? Matthew 26, 26 through 30. And this is the night of His betrayal, the night of the Last Supper. And the scripture says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body.'" This is My body. The bread represented His body. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament or the New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom." When we come to the Lord's Supper time after time to focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we are naturally drawn to two aspects of our Lord. And we are drawn to these two aspects of our Lord because of the fact that He Himself draws our attention to, first of all, His body. He says, "This bread represents My body." And so by that, He naturally draws our attention to His body. And in this, He is telling us that there is something special, something unique, something that we need to note about His body. And then He draws our attention through the fruit of the vine to His blood. And He says of the fruit of the vine, "This represents My blood." And so He draws our attention to His body and to His blood. And of course, you and I recognize immediately, or at least we should recognize immediately, that He draws our attention to His body and to His blood, because these things are central to who He is, and even more so central to what He has done for us in redemption. Without His body and without His blood, He could not have redeemed us. And as we come to this time, the Lord Jesus Christ is drawing our attention to these unique aspects of Himself so that we might remember who He is, especially in His redemption for us. In His body and in His blood, He redeemed us. And so what I want to do just for a few minutes this evening is I want to go to the book of Hebrews, because we can cover it all in the book of Hebrews, and we don't have to look at a lot of scriptures and be in a lot of different places tonight. So let's just go back to the book of Hebrews. And for just a little bit tonight, let's focus on the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. We're going to begin in chapter 10 of Hebrews, and we're going to begin by looking at some things about His body. Let's just spend some time right now contemplating His body. He says, "This bread represents My body." Focus on His body for just a little bit. And notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. Do you have it? It says, "Wherefore, when He cometh into the world," speaking of Him coming from heaven, coming into the world through the miraculous virgin birth and incarnation, Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. A body hast thou prepared me. And so Jesus is taking the scripture here, rather, the scripture is taking our eyes off of the Old Testament sacrifices, the bodies of various kinds of animals, all different kinds of animals. If you go back and study the Old Testament sacrificial system, there were birds and all kinds of things that people sacrificed, of clean animals that were declared clean. And he's taking our focus off of those, and he's directing us somewhere else. He says these sacrifices of the former dispensation, these sacrifices of the former covenant, are not sufficient. And so he draws our attention from these insufficient sacrifices of the old covenant to himself, and concerning his father, he says, a body thou hast prepared for me. A body thou hast prepared for me. Have you ever stopped to think that before the incarnation, Jesus never had a body? Jesus didn't have a body in heaven. He didn't need a body in heaven. He was the eternal God of the same nature of the Father. He was spirit. He was eternal, pure, holy spirit. And he didn't have a body. Now, in the Old Testament, there were times when I believe he manifested himself in an apparent physical form and as what we call a theophany. And he materialized even as angels do. Angels do not have material bodies, but angels can materialize to appear like they have a body. But they're spirits. The Bible says they are ministering what? Spirits. You see, they are spirits. Jesus himself said, a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as you see me have. So spirits are not physical. But some spirits have the ability to manifest themselves with a physical appearance from time to time. But anyway, getting back to Jesus, the scripture tells us that God prepared him a body. And obviously, if God prepared for him a body, then that body had a purpose. There was a purpose for that body. And we can surmise that apart from that body, Jesus could not fulfill the mission of redemption that God had for you and I. Jesus had to have a body. God did not give Jesus a body just so that he could have a body. Jesus had a body for a purpose, a prepared body, a body that was miraculous because of the fact that it was formed through the miracle of the virgin birth. It was an incarnation. It was an incarnation. There's all kinds of theological contemplations here, but we're just going to keep it simple and focus upon the body of Jesus. God prepared him a body. Why? Because he could not redeem us without a body. He could not redeem us without a body. Take your Bible and let's look at let's just follow a little pattern here for just a few minutes. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. So we are reminded in this verse that first of all, we are flesh and blood. Anybody doubt that? You and I, we are flesh and blood. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's you and me, we are flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the what? Of the same. So what the scripture wants us to know is that, yes, God, through this miraculous thing we call the virgin birth and the incarnation and so forth, a body was prepared for Jesus, but what God wants us to know that it was a real body as we understand a body. It's flesh and blood. It was a real flesh and blood body. It was a physical body. It was just like ours. You ever wonder if when Jesus was being raised as the son of a carpenter, a stone worker, and so forth, that if he ever accidentally hit his thumb with a hammer? Now, some of you are builders. Is there anybody here who's ever done any lengthy types of construction work where you haven't hit yourself with a hammer, or you haven't cut yourself, or you haven't done. You think Jesus ever did that growing up? Amen. Would it be sacrilegious to think that maybe he did? Huh? I don't think so. You know, he came to live among us as flesh and blood. He worked. He slept. He got tired. He got hungry. You see. And I wouldn't be surprised that there were times when he maybe slipped and cut himself. And you know what? When he cut himself, what happened? He bled. Do you think that maybe Jesus ever bled before he went to the cross? But isn't it interesting? The blood that he might have shed before he went to the cross had nothing to do with our redemption. Amen. But it had everything to do with him being truly human. You see, truly human. Interesting to think about some of these things, isn't it? But he draws our attention to his body. It's a real body, and in that real body, what I'm trying to say is he had real experiences. He had real experiences. And in having all of these real experiences of life, he became qualified to be our advocate, our intercessor. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 and just remind ourselves of what it says there. Hebrews chapter 4. And notice what it says in verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted or tested like as we are, yet without sin. So unlike you and unlike me, when Jesus hit his finger, he probably didn't do what? He probably endured it with more patience than most of us. You know, the Bible says that he was tested in every area of life. And that was one of the reasons that God gave him a body and made him flesh and blood, so that he could come and he could live real human life and be tested in every area of life. And he would be qualified as our high priest intercessor so that we could go to him. Notice what it says. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we have one who has experienced life, human life, flesh and blood life. And so we can go to him and we can say, Lord, you know what? I'm hurting today. I'm hurting. Lord, I'm going through a time of trial. And he looks upon us and he says, I know, I understand. I understand. And we can obtain help and mercy in time of need. Aren't you glad for that? But you see, that was a part of him taking upon himself a body. A body. And Hebrews chapter 1, very quickly. Hebrews chapter 1. Notice what it says. I'll get there if I can turn my page here. Hebrews chapter 1 says, God who at sundry times, verse 1, God who at sundry or different times and in divers or various manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Amen. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now notice verse 3. This is my focus right now. Who being the brightness, the outshining, the epiphaneia of his glory. The idea is Jesus expresses, Jesus shines forth, he shows forth. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration? What did he do? The glory of God shone through him. The glory of God shone through him. He went up on a mountain with Peter, James, and John. And there the Bible says he was metamorphosized. He was transfigured before them. And he literally, from the inside out, the only way I can think of it is he began to glow. And the manifestation of that glow became greater and brighter until it was just, you and I can't imagine it. Peter, James, and John didn't know what to do. They were at a loss for words, really. Said, Lord, let's build some booths and stay here. We don't want to leave. and all the rest of it. But he began to manifest his glory through his body. And what the writer of Hebrews is telling us here is this, is that Jesus in his body, let's read some more of it, who being the brightness of his glory and the exact image of his person, talking about the person of God. Jesus Christ in the flesh, Jesus Christ in his body, shone forth the glory and was the express image of the invisible God. You see, even in the days of his humiliation in his body, God gave him a body, the Father gave him a body so that you and I could see in some visible way, in some visible manifestation, the invisible God. Jesus truly, even in his humiliation, in his character, in who he was and what he spoke the words of God, he did the works of God, he manifested the invisible God in this body, even in his humiliation. And it's God coming down to man. God was manifest in the flesh, the scripture tells us. And in this manifestation of God in the flesh, a man could see as much as he could ever see on this earth the invisible God. And you remember in John chapter 14 when Jesus was telling them about the mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again. And he goes on down, and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then Thomas and the disciples say, well, how can we know the way? And Jesus tells them that he is the way. And they go on, and the question comes, how can we know? And how can we know God and so forth? And Jesus says, have I been with you so long and you have not known the Father? You have not seen the Father? And he says to them this amazing thing. He says, he that hath seen me hath what? Has seen the Father. Now, obviously not in his unadulterated glory. The Bible says that no man has ever seen God like that, and no man ever will see God like that. So if we're ever going to see God, we're going to see him in some veiled way. And I think that's probably true even in heaven. But on earth, Jesus came to manifest in his body that God had given him. Jesus came to manifest the Father. And he could say, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And so this body of Jesus had great purpose, that man may come to know God, that man may understand God, that man may able to see with his eyes in a visible way the love of God and be able to reach out and touch in a tangible way this God who loves us and cares about us and who has come for us. And this one who, before it was all said and done, he would go to the cross and he would die for us. All in this body that God hath prepared for him. Take your Bible with me now to chapter 2 and verse 9. Chapter 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus. Praise the Lord. Who was made a little lower than the angels. For what purpose, folks? For the suffering of death. You see, if our Lord was going to die for us, he must have something that can die. Right? Before he put on a body, what was there about our Lord that could die? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. What was there about our Lord that could suffer, that could be a sacrifice? that could shed blood. Going clear back to the Old Testament, what is the legal basis for justification? What is the legal basis for reconciliation? Is it not the shedding of blood? Certainly it is. Aren't we told in the book of Hebrews right here in chapter 9, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is what? No remission of sin. Why? Because the principle given to us in the Old Testament was the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Life represented, blood represented life. And that which represents life must be given in order for life to be gained. Life was lost. And so blood must be shed. Only blood will satisfy God, not any blood. In fact, under the wrong circumstances, not even the blood of the Lord Jesus. But blood must be shed. Blood must be shed for the remission of sins. And so he has to have something that will die. And so he comes and he puts on a body of flesh and blood. Blood was coursing through that body. And it would be in that body that he would go to the cross as a sacrifice. It would be in that body that he would go to the cross as a substitute. Your substitute and my substitute. It'd be in that body that he would go to the cross and he would pay the price for our sins, that you and I might be reconciled to God, that we might be restored to a right relationship with God through faith in him. So tonight we look at his body. And how many would say, thank God for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? Thank God for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for preparing a body for your son. And when we come to this table and we take that little piece of bread, that little crust that represents his body, let's just remember what that represents. Without that, without the body of Jesus Christ, without the virgin birth, without the incarnation, without his living a sinless life in that body, there could be no redemption. Without the blood that coursed through the veins of that body, there could be no redemption. And so tonight we remember what Jesus did for us in his body. And by the way, he still retains that body. He took that body to heaven with him. Now it was glorified. It has different characteristics. It no longer lives on the blood principle. It now lives on the spirit principle, just like you and I will someday. We're going to be in a resurrection body. Our body will be changed, but it will be a body. And it will be a body of flesh and bone, even as Jesus had after his resurrection. It will be a body of flesh and bone, but it will be glorified, it will be changed, it will be immortal, it will be uncorruptible, and it will not contain blood. Because blood is corruptible. Blood is mortal. It will be a real physical body, but it will live by the principle of the Spirit. Okay? We need to understand that. Well, all right, that's one sermon. Let's spend just a few minutes looking at his blood. We usually spend more time on the blood than we do the body of Christ. But let's just refresh ourselves a little bit about the blood here in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, very quickly. We've talked a little about the blood, but let's just focus on the blood just for a few moments. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. Notice what it says. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves. The best that the blood of goats and calves could do would be to give a temporary covering for the sins of the people. That's all it could do. And it had to be repeated over and over and over and over and over again, because the blood of goats and calves and birds and all the rest of it could never, 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 never permanently take away sin. All it could do would be to temporarily cover it. And so we need blood that has a lot more power than the blood of goats and calves. And it says, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained what? Eternal redemption for us. You see, by his own blood. The high priest in the Old Testament took what kind of blood into the Holy of Holies? Animal blood. The animal blood was taken into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled on the altar, and it was insufficient. It was insufficient. All it could do was temporarily cover the sins of the people. Jesus Christ offered his own blood. He offered his own blood. When, as it were, in the presence of the Almighty God, in the presence of our of his Father, he offers his own blood. Now, does his own blood have more authority and more power than the blood of bulls and goats? Amen. And so he offers his own blood. He takes his own blood into the Holy of Holies, does not sprinkle it upon the altar. It is offered upon the cross. And the Father looks at it and he says, I am satisfied. I am satisfied. That's that glorious technical word we see in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. He is the propitiation for our sins. Our Father is propitiated. He is satisfied. He looks at the offering that his Son has made, the sacrifice his Son has made, the blood his Son has shed, and he says, I am satisfied. The question of sin is settled. The offering of Jesus Christ upon the cross and the shedding of his blood was the last sacrifice that God ever needed. You see, the only one. And God is satisfied. So praise God for that. I am so glad. Aren't you glad that you're a New Testament, a New Covenant believer? A New Covenant believer. And the offering once and for all of the blood of Jesus has rendered eternal redemption. Not a yearly covering. And that's kind of the idea behind an atonement. An atonement was a covering, you see. What Jesus did for us is eternal redemption. Eternal redemption through his blood. Praise the Lord for that. Well, we've looked at 9:22, or at least we've talked about it. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so our sins are remitted. They are purged. No need for a purgatory. No need for a purgatory. You see, there's no need to have some place where we go to have some of our sins purged away. Because if you're a believer, if you have received the gift of God, all of our sins were purged, all of our sins were taken care of on Calvary. When Jesus died, all of our sins were purged. There's no need for any more purging. I'm glad for that. The other system just doesn't sound very attractive to me, you know. Well, now Jesus died for some of your sins, I guess, but now you can go to a purgatory and you can be there for maybe 10,000 years and you can have the rest of your sins purged. And then maybe it's 15,000. I don't know. It just depends on how nasty you are. Some of you might be there for a long, long, long time. No. Jesus Christ purged all of our sins. Our sins are remitted. God is satisfied. No more blood needs to be shed. Praise the Lord for that. Hebrews chapter 13, very quickly. Very quickly. Notice what it says. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. It says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. Now notice this, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ is the blood of the new covenant. And here the new covenant is called the everlasting covenant. And we have what kind of a redemption? We have an eternal redemption, we're told. And so, therefore, we are in a relationship with our God through an eternal or everlasting covenant, an unbreakable covenant. If you are a new covenant Christian, you are in an unbreakable eternal covenant with God. It's a redemptive covenant. Stop and think about that. God has agreed to save you. God has agreed to forgive you. God has agreed to make you his child. God has agreed to enter into an eternal relationship with you and with myself because of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us. It's the blood. It's the ratifying, certifying, guaranteeing blood of the everlasting Son of God. It's a new covenant. We are new covenant Christians. Praise the Lord for that, you see. Praise God for that. And that opens up all kinds of things that could take a long, long time to talk about. And we need to observe the table tonight. So, folks, we're going to focus this evening. We're going to focus on the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is through the body and the blood of Jesus Christ that the Son of God wrought eternal redemption for you and I. Literally changed our destinies. Stop and think about that. What would have our destinies been if it would had not been for the Lord Jesus Christ? If it would not have been for him coming from heaven, as Pastor Randy brought out this morning, the humility of the Son of God laying aside that which was rightfully his and coming to this corrupt world, putting on a body, and eventually suffering a horrendous, terrible death on a cruel cross and shedding his blood. If he would not have done that for you and for me, where, oh, where, oh, where would we be? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing a song together, and let's have the deacons and the ushers come and prepare themselves, and we'll get ready to observe the table. Let's sing number 239. Number 239. 239. Let's all stand together, please. Everybody stand. Hold just a second there. Okay. All right. 239.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain contempt on all my pride. Stanza two. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that are me sacrifice them to his blood.
On the third as the last.
See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown?
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Be seated, please. Be seated. Now, once again, just very quickly, just to make sure everybody understands, these elements here are symbolic alone. There is no special grace in any of these things. These elements cannot save you. They cannot impart some special grace or dispensation to you. These elements are symbolic. The bread represents, as we have said tonight, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It just represents the body. The reality is Jesus. This grape juice, the fruit of the vine, represents the blood of Jesus. It does not become the blood of Jesus. It imparts no grace. It cannot wash away a single sin. It is just a symbol of the reality. And the reality is Jesus. And only the reality can save. Amen. And if you're here this evening and you're not sure about your salvation, what a wonderful time to put your faith and trust in the true one who came from heaven and went to the cross and shed his blood so that you could have forgiveness of sins and know for certain that you have an eternal redemption, an eternal redemption. Be eternally a part of the family of God. And you can know that. You can know that if you turn to Christ and put your faith and trust in him for forgiveness of sins and for eternal life. And so this evening, if you are here and you are saved, you are a part of the new covenant. You are in the new covenant relationship with God, and you are a part of his family. And if you have been baptized, if you have followed the Lord in baptism, and you are in agreement with us in position and so forth, you don't have to be a member of this church to partake with us, but you need to be one in heart in our faith and practice so that we can come together in a united way and share in these things in Christ. And so we invite you to partake. Upon contemplation, the Bible says we should examine ourselves. If there's anything in your life right now that you know is definitely displeasing to God, this is the time to go to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I know that I have things in my life right now that are not what they should be. And I just pray that you would forgive me and cleanse me. I want to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper with a clear conscience and a clear heart, and I confess these things and forsake them, and we invite you to partake. So let's bow just for a moment and for silent prayer, and in just a few minutes we will pass out the elements of the Lord's Supper. Brother Kevin, would you thank the Lord, please, for his body that bore our sins?
Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, I do just thank you so much for taking on that body, Lord, and willingly going to the cross. And Lord, you knew no sin until the sins of the world were placed upon you, and you finished it on the cross, Lord, and you took on that body. You were beaten and bruised, crown of thorns in your head, Lord, spat upon, your beard pulled, all for me. All for us here today.
Amen.
And thank you for your body. We just praise you and give you the glory.
Amen. Amen. The scriptures tell us on that night that he was betrayed that as he met with his disciples, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And then he told them to take and eat, in the sense that we are to partake. By faith, we partake of who he is and that which he has done for us. So let us partake together. Brother Rick, would you thank the Lord, please, for his shed blood?
Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of the words of Calvary. Lord, the love you showed there, the love you showed the day you accepted the Savior, Lord, you shed upon us, the love you shed upon us now. All persons, persons of
After they had supped, the scripture says, he took the cup and he said, in essence, this cup is the blood that I have shed, that I will shed the next day. This blood is the blood of the new covenant that I will wrought for you. And he said to them, partake. Partake. Partake of it. Partake of it. Amen? Partake of it. Communion. Participate. Share. Take of it. Drink ye. Drink ye all of it. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
For your body. For your blood. That we might have eternal redemption. All of us under that covenant sitting here this night, our destinies are forever changed. Forever changed. Because of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing number 246. Let's stand together. There is a Redeemer. There is a Redeemer. 246.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, giving us your Son, leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, before sinners slain. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son, leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I shall see his face. Giving us your Son, leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
Oh, thank you, our Father. Thank you, our Father, for giving us your Son. Help us to live daily for him and to glorify him. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight.